Chapter 6. Consent to accept a written apology, to be penned by you, from my dictation. Apostrophe, a written apology. Apostrophe, apostrophe, repeated Mr. Winkle, in the most emphatic tone of amazement possible. Of course you know the alternative, apostrophe, replied the visitor coolly. Were you interested with this message to me by name? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Mr. Winkle, whose intellects were hopelessly confused by this extraordinary conversation. I was not present myself, apostrophe, replied the visitor, and in consequence of your firm refusal to give your card to Dr. Slammer, I was desired by that gentleman to identify the wearer of a very uncommon coat, a bright blue dress coat, with a gilt button displaying a bust, and the letters, PC. Apostrophe, Mr. Winkle actually staggered with astonishment as he heard his own costume thus minutely described. Dr. Slammer's friend proceeded. From the inquiries I made at the bar, just now, I was convinced that the owner of the coat in question arrived here, with three gentlemen, yesterday afternoon. I immediately sent up to the gentleman who was described as appearing the head of the party, and he at once referred me to you. Apostrophe, if the principal tower of Rochester Castle had suddenly walked from its foundation, and stationed itself opposite the coffee room window, Mr. Winkle's surprise would have been as nothing compared with the profound astonishment with which he had heard this address. His first impression was that his coat had been stolen. Will you allow me to detain you one moment? Apostrophe, said he. Certainly, apostrophe, replied the unwelcome visitor. Mr. Winkle ran hastily upstairs, and with a trembling hand opened the bag. There was the coat in its usual place, but exhibiting, on a close inspection, evident tokens of having been worn on the preceding night. It must be so, apostrophe, said Mr. Winkle, letting the coat fall from his hands. I took too much wine after dinner, and have a very vague recollection of walking about the streets, and smoking a cigar afterwards. The fact is, I was very drunk. I must have changed my coat, gone somewhere, and insulted somebody, I have no doubt of it, and this message is the terrible consequence. Apostrophe, saying which, Mr. Winkle retraced his steps in the direction of the coffee room, with the gloomy and dreadful resolve of accepting the challenge of the warlike Dr. Slammer, and abiding by the worst consequences that might ensue. To this determination Mr. Winkle was urged by a variety of considerations, the first of which was his reputation with the club. He had always been looked up to as a high authority on all matters of amusement and dexterity, whether offensive, defensive, or inoffensive. And if, on this very first occasion of being put to the test, he shrunk back from the trial, beneath his leader's eye, his name and standing were lost forever. Besides, he remembered to have heard it frequently surmised by the uninitiated in such matters, that by an understood arrangement between the seconds, the pistols were seldom loaded with ball, and, furthermore, he reflected that, if he applied to Mr. Snodgrass, to act as his second, and depicted the danger in glowing terms, that gentleman might possibly communicate the intelligence to Mr. Pickwick, who would certainly lose no time in transmitting it to the local authorities, and thus prevent the killing or maiming of his follower. Such were his thoughts, when he returned to the coffee room, and intimated his intention of accepting the doctor's challenge. Will you refer me to a friend, to arrange the time and place of meeting? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the officer. Quite unnecessary, apostrophe, replied Mr. Winkle. Name them to me, and I can procure the attendance of a friend afterwards. Apostrophe, shall we say sunset this evening? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired the officer, in a careless tone. Very good, apostrophe, replied Mr. Winkle, thinking in his heart it was very bad. You know Fort Pitt? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, I saw it yesterday. Apostrophe, if you will take the trouble to turn into the field which borders the trench, take the footpath to the left when you arrive at an angle of the fortification, and keep straight on, Till you see me, I will precede you to a secluded place, where the affair can be conducted without fear of interruption. Apostrophe, fear of interruption. Apostrophe, apostrophe, thought Mr. Winkle. Nothing more to arrange, I think, apostrophe, said the officer. I am not aware of anything more, apostrophe, replied Mr. Winkle. Good morning. Apostrophe, good morning. Apostrophe, and the officer whistled a lively air as he strode away. That morning's breakfast passed heavily off. Mr. Tupman was not in a condition to rise, after the unwonted dissipation of the previous night. Mr. Snodgrass appeared to labor under a poetical depression of spirits, and even Mr. Pickwick evinced an unusual attachment to silence and soda water. Mr. Winkle eagerly watched his opportunity. It was not long wanting. Mr. Snodgrass proposed a visit to the castle, and as Mr. Winkle was the only other member of the party disposed to walk, they went out together. Snodgrass, apostrophe, said Mr. Winkle, when they had turned out of the public street. Snodgrass, my dear fellow, can I rely upon your secrecy? Apostrophe, apostrophe, as he said this, he most devoutly and earnestly hoped he could not. You can, apostrophe, replied Mr. Snodgrass. Hear me swear, apostrophe, no, no, apostrophe, interrupted Winkle, terrified at the idea of his companions unconsciously pledging himself not to give information. Don't swear, it's quite unnecessary. Apostrophe, Mr. Snodgrass dropped the hand which he had, in the spirit of peace, raised towards the clouds as he made the above appeal, and assumed an attitude of attention. I want your assistance, my dear fellow, in an affair of honor, apostrophe, said Mr. Winkle. You shall have it, apostrophe, replied Mr. Snodgrass, clasping his friend's hand. With a Dr. Slammer, of the 97th, apostrophe, said Mr. Winkle, wishing to make the matter appear as solemn as possible. An affair with an officer, seconded by another officer, at sunset this evening, in a lonely field beyond Fort Pitt. Apostrophe, I will attend you, apostrophe, said Mr. Snodgrass. He was astonished, but by no means dismayed. It is extraordinary how cool any party, but the principal, can be in such cases. Mr. Winkle had forgotten this. He had judged of his friend's feelings by his own. The consequences may be dreadful, apostrophe, said Mr. Winkle. I hope not, apostrophe, said Mr. Snodgrass. The doctor, I believe, is a very good shot, apostrophe, said Mr. Winkle. Most of these military men are, apostrophe, observed Mr. Snodgrass calmly, but so are you, ain't you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Winkle replied in the affirmative, and perceiving that he had not alarmed his companion sufficiently, changed his ground. Snodgrass, apostrophe, he said, in a voice tremulous with emotion, if I fall, you will find in a packet which I shall place in your hands a note for my father. Apostrophe, this attack was a failure also. Mr. Snodgrass was affected, but he undertook the delivery of the note as readily as if he had been a twopenny postman. If I fall, apostrophe, said Mr. Winkle, or if the doctor falls, you, my dear friend, will be tried as an accessory before the fact. Shall I involve my friend in transportation, possibly for life? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Snodgrass winced a little at this, but his heroism was invincible. In the cause of friendship, apostrophe, he fervently exclaimed, I would brave all dangers. Apostrophe, how Mr. Winkle cursed his companion's devoted friendship internally, as they walked silently along, side by side, for some minutes, each immersed in his own meditations. The morning was wearing away, he grew desperate. Snodgrass, apostrophe, he said, stopping suddenly, do not let me be balked in this matter. Do not give information to the local authorities. Do not obtain the assistance of several peace officers to take either me or Dr. Slammer, of the 97th Regiment, at present quartered in Chatham Barracks, into custody, and thus prevent this duel. I say, do not. Apostrophe, Mr. Snodgrass seized his friend's hand warmly, as he enthusiastically replied, not for worlds. Apostrophe, apostrophe, a thrill passed over Mr. Winkle's frame as the conviction that he had nothing to hope from his friend's fears, and that he was destined to become an animated target, rushed forcibly upon him. The state of the case, having been formally explained to Mr. Snodgrass, and a case of satisfactory pistols, with the satisfactory accompaniments of powder, ball, and caps, having been hired from a manufacturer in Rochester, the two friends returned to their inn, Mr. Winkle to ruminate on the approaching struggle, and Mr. Snodgrass to arrange the weapons of war, and put them into proper order for immediate use. It was a dull and heavy evening when they again sallied forth on their awkward errand. Mr. Winkle was muffled up in a huge cloak to escape observation, and Mr. Snodgrass bore under his the instruments of destruction. Have you got everything? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Winkle, in an agitated tone. Everything, apostrophe, replied Mr. Snodgrass. Plenty of ammunition, in case the shots don't take effect. There's a quarter of a pound of powder in the case, and I have got two newspapers in my pocket for the loadings. Apostrophe, these were instances of friendship for which any man might reasonably feel most grateful. The presumption is that the gratitude of Mr. Winkle was too powerful for utterance, as he said nothing, but continued to walk on rather slowly. We are in excellent time, apostrophe said Mr. Snodgrass, as they climbed the fence of the first field. The sun is just going down. Apostrophe Mr. Winkle looked up at the declining orb, and painfully thought of the probability of his going down himself, before long. There's the officer, apostrophe exclaimed Mr. Winkle, after a few minutes walking. Where? Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Snodgrass. There the gentleman in the blue cloak. Apostrophe Mr. Snodgrass looked in the direction indicated by the forefinger of his friend, and observed a figure, muffled up, as he had described. The officer evinced his consciousness of their presence by slightly beckoning with his hand, and the two friends followed him at a little distance, as he walked away. The evening grew more dull every moment, and a melancholy wind sounded through the deserted fields, like a distant giant whistling for his house dog. The sadness of the scene imparted a somber tinge to the feelings of Mr. Winkle. He started as they passed the angle of the trench. It looked like a colossal grave. The officer turned suddenly from the path, and after climbing a paling and scaling a hedge, entered a secluded field. Two gentlemen were waiting in it. One was a little, fat man, with black hair, and the other a portly personage in a braided surtout was sitting with perfect equanimity on a camp stool. The other party, and a surgeon, I suppose, apostrophe said Mr. Snodgrass. Take a drop of brandy. Apostrophe Mr. Winkle seized the wicker bottle which his friend proffered, and took a lengthened pull at the exhilarating liquid. My friend, sir, Mr. Snodgrass, apostrophe said Mr. Winkle, as the officer approached. Dr. Slammer's friend bowed, and produced a case similar to that which Mr. Snodgrass carried. We have nothing further to say, sir, I think, apostrophe he coldly remarked, as he opened the case. An apology has been resolutely declined. Apostrophe, nothing, sir, apostrophe said Mr. Snodgrass, who began to feel rather uncomfortable himself. Will you step forward? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the officer. Certainly, apostrophe, replied Mr. Snodgrass. The ground was measured, and preliminaries arranged. You will find these better than your own, apostrophe, said the opposite second, producing his pistols. You saw me load them. Do you object to use them? Apostrophe, apostrophe, certainly not, apostrophe replied Mr. Snodgrass. The offer relieved him from considerable embarrassment, for his previous notions of loading a pistol were rather vague and undefined. We may place our men, then, I think, apostrophe observed the officer, with as much indifference, as if the principals were chessmen, and the seconds players. I think we may, apostrophe replied Mr. Snodgrass, who would have assented to any proposition, because he knew nothing about the matter. The officer crossed to Dr. Slammer, and Mr. Snodgrass went up to Mr. Winkle. It's all ready, apostrophe said he, offering the pistol. Give me your cloak. Apostrophe, you have got the packet, my dear fellow, apostrophe said poor Winkle. All right, apostrophe said Mr. Snodgrass. Be steady, and wing him. Apostrophe, it occurred to Mr. Winkle that this advice was very like that which bystanders invariably give to the smallest boy in a street fight, namely, go in, and win an admirable thing to recommend, if you only know how to do it. He took off his cloak, however, in silence it always took a long time to undo that cloak, and accepted the pistol. The seconds retired, the gentleman on the camp stool did the same, and the belligerents approached each other. Mr. Winkle was always remarkable for extreme humanity. It is conjectured that his unwillingness to hurt a fellow creature intentionally was the cause of his shutting his eyes when he arrived at the fatal spot, and that the circumstance of his eyes being closed prevented his observing the very extraordinary and unaccountable demeanor of Dr. Slammer. That gentleman started, stared, retreated, rubbed his eyes, stared again, and, finally, shouted, "Stop, stop! Apostrophe, apostrophe, what's all this?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Dr. Slammer, as his friend and Mr. Snodgrass came running up, "That's not the man." Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.